This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/news-ad-free. That's amazon.com/news-ad-free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Kilowatt. My name is Bodhi, and I am your host. I'm not really sure where the hello came from, but welcome. Welcome to the Kilowatt Podcast. I'm recording on a Tuesday, and I'm going to release this podcast on a Tuesday. And if you're asking yourself why, my suggestion is to go listen to episode 314, where I explain it. But the long and the short of it is we're going to have an episode for, like, a special episode for, like, interviews and earnings calls and special events that Tesla does, like Tesla AI Day. And then we're going to have a news episode. As a general rule, the news episodes are going to be released on Fridays and the special episodes will be released on Tuesdays. But that's not a hard and fast rule because Tesla AI Day is this Friday. So this Friday, we're going to go over AI Day. And then the following Tuesday will be news. I honestly think this is going to make the show better. So I want to thank Allison Sheridan for recommending it. Speaking of Allison Sheridan, she's going to be on today's episode, and we're going to talk about our experiences of driving the Electra Mechanica solo. It was a lot of fun. Driving the solo was a lot of fun. I'm not going to get into too many details here, but I did my test drive in Scottsdale, Arizona, and Steve and Allison did their test drive in LA. So I feel like at the time, traffic conditions were probably pretty close. Weather conditions were pretty close. I was nowhere near the ocean. But other than that, I feel like the drives are probably comparable. I do want to say that Allison and Steve were kind enough to take pictures on their drive. I actually did not. I think I took one picture of the interior, but Allison and Steve got way better pictures. So I'll put a link in the show notes where you can view that album, that photo album. And then Allison also kindly included a YouTube video showing the Electra Mechanica solos being made. So I'll put that link in the show notes as well. And we're going to get to the interview, I promise. But before we do that, I want to recognize and thank Stephen for going to patreon.com/kilowatt. And becoming a patron. Stephen, thank you so much. I really appreciate you for doing that. If you have any questions, feel free to reach out to me. It's Bodhi, B-O-D-I-E, at 918digital.com. All right, folks, let's go ahead and jump into our interview with Allison Sheridan on the Electra Mechanica Solo. Allison Sheridan, welcome to the show.
Well, howdy, Bodhi. How are you today?
I'm good. I'm excited. You and I were talking about the Electra Mechanica Solo.
Well, a friend of mine was just driving around town, and he saw this crazy little three-wheeled vehicle, and he looked up to see what it was, and he sent it out to me and my friends, and I looked in the at the website, and it said, hey, you want to test drive it? And I checked, and there were some 11 minutes from my car. And I thought, that looks fun. I'll get Bodhi to do it with me.
Yes. And you kind of wrote down some specs. Do you want to go through those specs? And I think we could save the price for later.
Okay. All right. We'll make the fun of it later. I do want to say that Steve also did the test drive. So it's kind of his opinion and my opinion are kind of bundled together into one here. All right. This car is 122 inches long. I like that it's in inches, not feet. It is 61.4 inches wide. So how tall are you, Bodhi?
I'm 5'11".
Okay, so it's just a smidge wider than Bodhi is tall, and it stands 53 inches high, and it's got a cargo space of 5 feet or 5 cubic feet. So this is an itty-bitty little car. It's a direct drive belt driven, which is something I had never seen before. The guy that was driving us around did point out that having two wheels on the front makes it much more stable when you're making sharp turns. So if you've ever been riding a tricycle, you know, you take a real sharp turn, you just flip right over, right?
That's a very good analogy.
Yeah, so I thought that helped. By the way, we will take this moment to tell people that I've created a shared photo album where you can look at pictures of it. I made it public, so Bodhi will include a link to that in the show notes, so you'll be able to go look at the pictures as Steve and I were poking around in it. And this car is so little, Steve took a picture of it from above. So he's like 5'10", and he was able to hold his phone up in the air and take a picture of the entire car from above it. That's how little this thing is.
Yeah, I actually, the gentleman that helped me with my test drive, he was actually able to reach his hands outside the car, and he couldn't quite touch them. He was probably a few inches away from touching, but he was out of either window. He had his hands on the roof, and they were fairly close.
That's pretty crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know more about batteries. Why don't you talk about the battery that's in this car?
So this battery is a 17.3 kilowatt hour liquid cooled lithium ion nickel cobalt. Is it aluminum for the A?
That's why I had you read it.
Okay. Yeah. It takes about 11 hours to charge this bad boy to full just on a regular 110 socket that you'd find here in the United States.
Think about that. 11 hours. That's like you get home from work, you plug it into 110. And you get up in the morning, you can go another 100 miles.
Yeah, and it does have a range of 100 miles, so that it ends up working out. It only takes 3 hours if you're on a 220 outlet, so that's pretty good. And it takes a regular standard J1772 connector.
Right, and or you just plug it into the wall, right?
Right.
Or I guess that's the one end
that goes connector into the car. Yeah.
I took a picture of the charge port. It's really adorable. It's underneath the license plate. And in order to explain how small this area is, I have to explain one other thing. The guy explained to us that because it has three wheels, the solar registers as a motorcycle. So that means you'll be insured for a motorcycle, which is cheaper than an automobile, but you won't need to get a motorcycle license. The reason I bring that all up is the license plate is, I thought it was like they just had a little fake plastic plate on, like a little toy plate, but it's a motorcycle plate. So it's that little bitty thing. It's like the size of a small Kleenex box, and you flip that up, and underneath that is where the charge port is. And I took a photo of that for the show notes.
Yeah, even with the license plate, I had the same thought. I was like, I know it's registered as a motorcycle, but it didn't. The license plate did not look like a standard motorcycle license plate. It just looked very strange to me. It just looked off a little bit. So I didn't know if it was decorative or not, just because this was a test drive.
Nope, that was the real thing. So back to the charging the battery, and I always get confused on this, the level two and fast charger, supercharger, all that nonsense. It just makes my head spin. Can you charge this kind of car on a DC fast charger?
So I asked Spencer, the sales rep, that. And when I asked him about, you know, what kind of, you know, how fast of a charger it can take, he just said 32 amps. So I don't think, I mean, maybe on a slow DC fast charger, there's no reason to put this on like one of the big like Electrify America fast chargers,
because it take 15 seconds and it's done.
No, it just wouldn't accept it. It would just accept as much as the battery management would allow it to accept, and then you would basically be wasting somebody who had a Lucid Motors time because they have to park in the one that was really designed for your car, and you're parked in the one that's designed for their car.
Okay. So for 100 miles is perfect for a commuter car for most people, I would think.
When you talk to salespeople, Spencer seemed like a pretty honest guy, but you never really know. But he was saying that there was a person that lives in Apache Junction, which is really far east of where I'm from, and she drives to she drives to not far from where I'm from. The name is escaping me at the moment, for her job. And it's 75 miles round trip for her.
Okay.
And she loves it. And she drives it on the freeway, which I don't know if I would do that. 75 miles every day in a gas vehicle. If you can replace that with a small, very efficient electric vehicle, I mean, you're money ahead.
Oh, yeah. This will not take long for the ROI. The ROI on my car will take forever, but on this one, it certainly would. It also has a, speaking of the battery, it has a 5-year, 45,000-mile limited water battery warranty. I don't know what limited means, but in my experience, these warranties always have the word limited in it. So I don't know that that's a downside to the terminology. I know with the Teslas, the battery warranty is limited, and by limited, they mean it will lose some capacity over time, but there's a limit to how much it can lose and still be without, you know, being out of warranty.
And the actual vehicle itself is covered with a 3-year, 36,000-mile warranty.
Yeah. Is that a lot or a little? It sounds a little weak.
I mean, I think in today's day and age, especially when you think how cheap it is to probably repair this thing, and they're probably using off the shelf parts, if I had to guess, for a lot of this stuff, it seems a little low for me.
Yeah, we haven't talked about the price of the car yet, but they did show, the guy showed us, if you open, here's a funny thing about the car. It has two doors.
Yeah.
It's only got one passenger, but it's got two doors. And he gave us, Ryan was our salesman, not Spencer, but Ryan gave us some explanation why. I think it was like, well, if you don't want to get out into traffic, you can get out on the other side.
Oh, yeah, that's a good idea.
I guess it seems like extra complexity to me. But one of the things he showed us was if you open the right passenger door, there's three screws that go into going from front to back of the car. And if you take those out, I think he called them beauty panels or something like that. Just the decorative panels that are on the car. You can take the panel right off, and the mechanics of the car are right there that you can get to repair it.
That's cool.
It's not an iPhone to get open. It's a lot easier.
Cool. And you know what I didn't know, and you wrote this in your notes, which was really nice of you. I just assumed the batteries were below you, but no, they're in the sidewall. I did not know.
Yeah.
That.
Yeah. So, see, Ryan was better than Spencer. So you sit down pretty low in this car, but then you know how there's like a little well you step over to get into a car. That's where the batteries are. They're all along the sides of it. And so you probably still have a nice, really low center of gravity, which is great for making turns a little more stably. If stably is a word, more stable. Anyway, but they're not underneath you.
Right. And I don't know how that would, I don't know how that would be just kind of like overall driving experience, because you're already really low to the ground. Maybe you don't want them directly underneath you. Maybe it's an advantage to have them, like you said, in the sides.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, let's see. We're not ready to quite get into the driving experience, but another funny thing is Ryan pointed out, did you notice there's no rear view mirror?
Yes.
And we went, what? That's not possible. How could you do that? And he says, well, think about it. What would it be looking at? It'd be looking at your big forehead. That's all it would be able to see, because you're right in the view of looking out the back of the car. So they even had, they have a big QR code on the back window. Because, or on the back of the car, there is no, in fact, there isn't a window, I think, right? There's no back
window at
all. No,
there's a window, but it is covered with the QR code. So when I did my test drive, because this is actually something that I wrote down, so it works out. When I did my test drive, we were parked at a light, and it's in downtown Scottsdale on a Saturday. And to give you an idea, it took me over 20 minutes to find a parking space at the Scottsdale Fashion Square Mall. That's how busy this area is. And it's a huge mall with a lot of parking. But anyway, we were parked. There's a ton of traffic. You're in this little bitty vehicle, and there's a lady behind me in a Toyota, and I see her phone up, and she's just creeping. Like, the car's just continuing to creep. And I was like, lady, you're getting way too close. And she's trying to scan that QR code through her windshield.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah.
Okay, that's hilarious. I love it. It definitely is a car that catches attention. I can say that for sure.
Let's jump into the interior of the car.
Actually, I want to correct you. I took some pictures inside of the car, inside the mall, where they had it sitting out like in the hallway, and there is no rear window.
There's no rear window. Oh my goodness. Okay. Well, that shows what I know.
Yeah, well, what would it be for? You can't see through it, so it might have. It's basically it's a trunk.
I wanted to say though, before he opened it up, I could look down and see in that little cargo space in the back. But maybe that's just a bad memory on my part.
Yeah, you hallucinated that. I did take a picture. The guy put his laptop inside the trunk so you could get a feel for how big it is. It's really tiny. You could probably fit one like a 6-pack cooler in there.
Yeah. Yeah, you couldn't fit a pizza box.
Well, pizza box is an interesting thing that you bring up. There's no trim options on this car, but there's a cargo version of the car being custom made, and it's being custom made right now for Pizza Hut.
Oh, yeah.
And Pizza Hut's idea is that you would be able to drive this car and deliver a bunch of pizzas, but they wanted the trunk to be sealed from the driver. So what they did was they build the car up. Right now, the car slopes down, but they build it up into kind of a square back. And so you could put like 5 pizza boxes in there. So you can fit the width of hopefully a large pizza in the back of the trunk. But they've bought 5 of them, I think, and they're going to be testing them out to see if it's a good vehicle for doing little city drives.
Oh, that's cool. That's cool. And we should say, like, even though there's no rear view mirror, there is a backup camera. And then because the car is so small, even with the tiny mirrors on the side, you still get a really good view of what's around you. So it's not, if people are concerned that there's no rear view window, that it's not that big of a deal.
When I was driving, I was worried about the blind spot because you don't have a rear view camera or window, so you can't see behind you while you're driving. But the guy had me adjust the mirrors ahead of time. And the way he did it was he stood behind the car and he held his hands out on either side. And I could see his fingers on both sides at the same time, which gives you a little bit of your idea of the width, right? So right. I adjusted the mirrors to where I could see them in a little tiny bit of the side of the car. When I was driving it, I was driving at one point where it was a 2-lane road, and so there was somebody to the right of me and behind me, like maybe a car length and a half behind me, and they were on the right. I could see their entire car in my left-hand side view mirror, the entire car. So you can see virtually, I mean, unless somebody is standing behind you with their arms down at their sides right up against the car, you can see everything else. Yeah, it was crazy.
Let's jump to the interior. When I looked inside of it, it was very simple, very bare bones on the inside. What were your thoughts?
It felt like a regular car to me. It did not feel junky or cheap at all. In fact, I made a note of I took a picture of this too, put it in the show notes. They had little red stitching on the seats, you know, a nice little touch. It didn't feel fancy. It was a mechanical thing to pull your seat forward and back. And it had a radio, which I thought was, yep, I haven't had a radio in a long time. But it was like a JVC radio that you would buy at Radio Shack in the old days and put it into your head unit, you know, not the built-in one. It looked kind of funny, but it had a real nice display in front and center with, you know, your speed. And I forget what else was on it. I took a picture of that too, but it was a nice bright display, right?
Yeah.
It looked really good. It had very nice dials to turn the temperature up and down and change the air conditioning rate. And, they were kind of like, almost like a gear. So real tactile, you could grab them. And that's one of my complaints with my car is it's all done on the touchscreen and I would rather not have that. There's no touchscreen in this car. That's not the kind of car it is. But I was curious, you're a lot taller than I am and I'm really short in the seat for my height. How was your headroom in that car?
Fine. If I was much taller, I don't know if it would have been a comfortable ride just from the standpoint of leg room. But as far as being in there, you know, if I had a longer body, maybe with the same legs, it might have been uncomfortable, but it was fine for me.
Yeah, I definitely did not feel cramped at all. You know, my friend Dorothy, she and her husband Mark is building a plane and has built a plane. And she like has to keep her elbows in, you know, when she's sitting in it, the cockpit's so small. I pictured that's what I'd feel like. And I didn't at all. I had my arms wide. No room for a purse, no place to put it under your seat or anything. Cause there's just nothing, you know, it just fall right underneath the pedals. I'm used to putting mine on the passenger side. So what I did was you have access to the trunk So I just popped it right back there and I was able to reach back and say if I needed to get my sunglasses. But if it flopped over when I came to a stop or something, I wouldn't be able to reach it. So that was a little bit of annoyance.
Yeah. And I will. Okay. So my favorite part of the interior of the vehicle was the air conditioning. Like the messing with those dials was actually very satisfying. Yeah. And I thought the best part of being in the car was like that felt like they put a lot of work into that. The display, I touched it. Did you touch the display? Because it's not touchscreen. There's no reason why you would. But
didn't even think of it.
I did touch it and it felt like you could put your finger through it. But it was nice and bright. So, I mean, you shouldn't be like up there thumping on the screen anyway, but it just kind of felt a little soft and squishy.
Okay.
As compared to what you would normally find in a car.
Stop touching
Did
things.
Did you find the, I know, it's a problem. I'm very tactile. Did you find the cup holder?
Oh, you know what I did after I got out of the car? I opened the right side door and it's kind of folded in to the armrest.
Right. Did you open it up?
I did. What are you thinking?
I'm thinking there's no way it's going to hold a drink like that. You're going to be wearing your coffee.
Well, not a big gulp.
Because no, even if it's just a standard coffee, coffee's, you know, liquid's heavy. And I did not feel so for people who don't know, there's like this little door that you pull down just like in the, 60s, 70s and part of the 80s where they had the little ashtrays in the back of cars. There's this little door that you pull down and then there's these little arms that come out and then you put your drink in it and then you secure the arms and they kind of lock into place. It was very, it wasn't very well thought out or very well made.
Okay.
I would not trust it with a drink.
Well, I was too busy trying to figure out what to do with my phone.
Yeah, I also had that. I put it in the little door, in the little holder in the door.
Oh, okay.
There's a little slot.
Now, I do want to tell you why I was messing with my phone. I was not taking photos or anything like that while I was doing it, but I had a great idea on the trip. I turned on dictation in Apple Notes. So I'm driving along and I test the acceleration and I said, acceleration's really good, nice and snappy, new line. And I kept doing that as I was doing it. So when I came home, the reason I have such good notes is I had done these recordings as I was going. So I captured everything I thought in the moment.
I used the voice memos. So it's kind of the same thing.
My idea is better.
So I had two phones with me. No, your idea is way better.
Because I don't have to listen to
I had two phones with me. I had my little brother was supposed to come, but he didn't bring his insurance with him. So I had two phones. So I was going to talk to him on one phone and then be recording on the with voice memos on the other, so we get both sides. Mm. But he ended up showing up and going to get a pretzel while I did the test drive, which is a bummer.
I was just the reason I'm making fun of you and saying my idea was better was I had a transcription already, so I didn't have to go pick and choose and listen through. I also turned that on when Ryan was telling us stuff. And it's hysterical because it doesn't even vaguely resemble sentences that make any sense. But every once in a while, you see just a little piece of it. I was able to go, oh, yeah, that's what he was talking about. When the thing is actually saying, how many ducks do you want for Christmas? He was actually telling us where they were manufacturing the cars.
Yeah, which is in Mesa, not too far from where I live.
So he said they were made in China, and then he said something about Mesa. So they are going to start manufacturing them in Mesa. Is that right?
So, like I said, I think most of these parts are not specific built just for Solo, but I don't know because I'm not super familiar with the company, but I think it's assembled because they have a big plant here. I don't know if it's a plant. They have a big building with Electromechanica on the outside. So maybe they'll start actually doing actual manufacturing here, but when they're all set up, I think it's kind of probably be more assembly than it is anything else.
Now, I did ask about how long's the company been around. Electromechanica is the parent company, and they've been around for quite a while. They're from Canada. They were founded in 2015. I'm not good at subtraction. Mm-hmm. What is that, 7 years? Right. So they're not, you know, not brand new. The Solo is pretty new. I think he said they launched in October.
Right. And the parent company is a different name. It's like Intermechanica or something like that, right? Electromechanica is like the off-brand and Intermechanica is the...
Is that what it was? Okay. They're a subsidiary of Intermechanica. Electromechanica right. is a subsidiary of Intermechanica. There, no wonder.
And I think Intermechanica is Italian, but I could be wrong on that.
Let's see.
Yeah, they're from Turin, Italy.
No, we've got it.
They were founded in
backwards.
1959.
Intermechanica's parent organization is Electromechanica. Okay, so we don't know.
Okay, cut that part out.
They're connected in some way. You can go look it up. All right, where do we want to go next? Time to drive?
So let's talk about our experience driving. How first, kind of describe to us what you're on surface streets, but is it there's a lot of traffic, a little bit of traffic?
I live in LA. There is always traffic. So I would call it medium traffic. It wasn't stop and go, but we were stopping at stoplights and there were cars in front of us. And, we had a few turns. I asked him ahead of time. I told him, I said, I'm going to want to try to really accelerate around a turn because the stability of a three-wheel vehicle scares me a little bit. So he made a point of slowing down as we came up to a light, making sure we had the green before he gunned it to go around the corner. He gunned it a lot faster than I did. I gunned it as much as I felt comfortable, and I did not feel unstable at all. Steve was a little bit more aggressive when he did his, and he again said it felt really stable.
Yeah, my experience was very, like, a lot of traffic. There was only a few places where we could really open it up, but I had the exact same experience where I felt like it was really stable. The acceleration, like when you go off from a start, isn't great, but once you hit like 15 miles an hour, it hits that next band or whatever, and then the acceleration is really good.
Okay, thank you. I said that too, and the guy said, no, it's better right as you hit the accelerator. No, this seemed to have a non-linear torque curve. I'm used to in EVs, it's linear, and that's why you get off the line so quickly. This felt like it hit a different gear.
Yeah, so I listened back this morning to my voice memo, and I was like, am I remembering this right? And I mentioned it several times throughout the drive. I was like, this has no pickup off from a stop, but it has a great pickup from like 15 to 45 to 50. We didn't go much faster than 50.
Yeah, I would have liked to have seen how fast they say it can go 80, I think it was.
Right.
Now, I had trouble judging the acceleration because I drive a car that's 0 to 60 in 3.1 seconds. So my frame of reference is completely ruined. But I have driven ICE vehicles recently, and it definitely felt about the same as I hit the accelerator. But then that boost, it was almost like a turbo.
Yeah, and it felt really satisfying once you got to that point.
Yeah.
Like, it's a little lackluster until you get to that point, and then you're like, oh, this is nice.
Yeah, yeah. That was pretty fun. I'm glad to hear you said that, because he was saying, no, it's linear. And I'm like, no, it didn't feel like that to me. Can I talk about what I didn't like?
Yeah, please.
Well, my favorite thing about driving an electric vehicle is one-pedal driving. And I know you've explained that to the audience before, but just in case somebody doesn't know what I'm talking about, that's where you basically just feather the accelerator and never have to use the brake. So when you let off the accelerator, it does the regenerative braking thing and it brakes the car. And I can on city streets just stop and go and go, I don't use my brakes. I will literally go a week without using the brakes on my car. And I'm including driving into my garage and things. I can just let off. You get used to when it's going to stop and how much you have to pull off. Now, if you're on the freeway and you're going 80 miles an hour and you let off, it doesn't go and screech you to a stop. It just, it feathers and slowly brings you to your speed down. This did not have that. It's got regenerative braking, but it also had like the creep mode that you can turn on in a Tesla, which I don't know why you would ever do that because it's so annoying. So you have to keep your foot on the brake. You can't relax when you're at a stoplight or in stop and go traffic. You have to keep your foot on the brake because if you lift it up, your car's going to inch forward, just like with an ICE vehicle. And I had to use the brakes a lot, and you had to really stomp on the brakes to get this car to stop more than I expected. Again, might be my frame of reference. What did you think of that?
I had the same exact experience. So I can tell you with creep mode, I think the creep mode is good for one thing and one thing only. It's like when you loan your car to a friend and they're not familiar with EVs. If you put it in creep mode, at least they know if they're in drive or reverse, and that keeps them from running into a garage or another vehicle, right? But I think that's the only thing creep mode's good for.
Okay.
I did not enjoy the braking experience. I actually didn't. I was like, man, does this car have any regen? Like, there's a little thing on the display that shows regen, and it never got more than a bar or two of regen. And I asked the salesperson afterwards, and he said, well, it's once you hit the brake, regen stops. So there's no blended braking.
Yeah, but it's really unfortunate.
Did you notice, like, I did not notice the car slowing down naturally, like a standard regen.
No.
Even with my foot off the brake and off the accelerator. Like, mm-mm. It was, like, I felt like I needed to use that brake.
Yep. Yep. And if you notice that and you're coming from an ICE vehicle, then that means it's very much like an ICE vehicle, right?
Yeah, I think so. And I think that might be a problem that they're going to need to fix in the future. Another problem, and I don't know if you or Steve had this problem, but when I would go from accelerator to the brake, my foot would either get caught underneath the brake or like it just took more
leg muscles,
mental. Yeah. Like I had to be more prepared when I was going to brake because they were very close together. The brake was small. Sometimes my foot would get caught underneath the brake.
And it's taller. The brake is taller.
Oh, if
I tested it when we came to a stop. I took my foot and I went straight across to the left and my foot went under the brake. And I've only ever seen that on, I think it was a Jeep Grand Cherokee I rented once in Texas. And I was like, I'm going to die in this car. I think you'd get used to it, but why would you ever have the brake be taller than the accelerator? Why would you ever do that?
Right. That increases your braking time, which in turn could potentially cause more problems with accidents and stuff.
And if they were using the regen braking, you would have the advantage of the car starting to brake as you're moving your foot to the brake as well. So they're missing two things which, like you said, I think those are safety things. That bothered me. I wonder if that can be adjusted.
Yeah, I don't know, because you can't adjust anything. Like there were two buttons and one was like to set, and I think it was for like a trip, and one was maybe to reset for the trip for the miles. But that was it. Like there was nothing else to set in this car. I don't know if it has an app. I forgot to ask.
Yeah, it didn't have that app feel, did it?
No. And I don't know what you would change anyway. But my drive was it was less than 6 miles. So, and it took about 20 minutes. It was a little less than 20 minutes. So when I started, I did look. I had 75% charge at the beginning of our trip. When we got done, I had 62% charge.
Oh,
so that was 6 miles and we had dropped 13% charge. And yes, I was really hitting the accelerator when we were taking off, but this is a very light car. It shouldn't bump you down 13% in less than 20 minutes, bumper to bumper traffic. But
that's kind of interesting. And usually an electric vehicle in bumper to bumper, you're pretty much not using anything when you're sitting still. So the fact that it was 20 minutes is irrelevant, right? The 6 miles is all that should really matter.
Yeah. I mean, maybe because you had to hold it, like, because it's trying to creep.
Yeah. That's inefficient.
Maybe you're holding back on the motor a little bit.
I wonder.
Yeah. I was quite surprised, really. But, and it also could be that their percentage isn't wholly accurate to reality, right?
Yeah. Like, that's fairly standard not to be accurate, right?
Right.
You mentioned loaning the car to someone and then not knowing what gear they were in. Unlike the Tesla's real weird, it's a stalk on the steering column. So you push, what is it? You push it up to go into reverse and you pull it down to go forward. And if I stop to think about it, I can't remember. I have to do it on instinct, which is not what you're really looking for. But on this car, it has a dial that has reverse and neutral and drive. There is no park. And he said neutral is like park, and you put it into neutral and then you press the parking brake button.
And then to release it, you have to put your foot on the brake and then hit the parking brake button, and then it's released.
Oh, I never did that part of it. He undid it for me. Okay. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, I thought that was weird too. Not necessarily bad, but you should just be aware of it, especially if you're loaning it to somebody, because they're not going to figure out how to get moving.
How did you like the turning radius?
I thought it was really good. We did a U-turn and I went from the inside lane to the opposite direction inside lane. And it was like, It was just like whoop. Like I didn't go into anybody else's lane or anything. It just went real quick.
It would be really fun to do donuts in that. I didn't check that. I really should have, but it would be fun, like in the parking lot, to do some donuts and see how tight it can get.
Yeah, the getting out. So I will say, being so low to the ground made me a little uncomfortable in certain situations. Like in Scottsdale, everybody's got an SUV. You know, there's big trucks, there's lifted trucks. I felt very small in this vehicle, but I never felt unsafe. But when I was looking around, I was just like, there's just a wall of vehicles. Like there were some cases when I was in the middle lane that I really couldn't see the stores on either side of me. If I looked left and I looked right, I mean, I could see them through the windows. But if I was just looking right at the windows of the other cars, if I was just looking and there was, if the car was tinted or whatever, I wouldn't be able to see anything.
Yeah.
On either side of the car.
Were you looking into the doors of the car? If you look straight across, like, did you have to scooch up in your chair to see over them, or were you above that?
No, I didn't have to scooch up, but I definitely wasn't super high. Like, I could still see the building that's on either side of me in the middle lane. It's just like I would feel very uncomfortable, like if I was in stop and go traffic on the freeway, for instance, because you just. You know, when you're in a regular car, you can kind of like move and like kind of peek and see what's going on. I don't know that you could necessarily do that in this car and feel comfortable about it, you know? Like yeah. If there's an accident, people will find a little area where they could just kind of slide to the left and look. I don't know that I would do that, because if somebody came up behind me, the accident might not be survivable. Like there's no airbags in this thing at all.
Oh, really? Is that legal?
It's a motorcycle. So, because when I looked because there's the airbag symbols, right? So normally you would find them in the A post, you would find them in the B post, depending, probably not in this car, but you'd find them in the A post, like above the door and then on the steering wheel. And I did not see the airbag symbol for any of those in any of those places. So if there is one, I didn't find it.
Yeah, I'm scanning through some Google searches, and no, there are no airbags. I put a link in the show notes. I hope you'll include for everybody to a video showing the assembly line and the process to put these things together. And it's a pretty interesting video. I've watched the whole thing, but he scanned through and showed us some things. And one of the things he had in the picture that he showed us was the car with none of the beauty panels on, and you can see the crumple zones and the metal frame around it, but that's not the same as an airbag.
No. And you know, I don't want to be too hard on the company, because it's a simple product and it's not really designed to be luxury or anything. It's really designed to get you somewhere at an affordable price, right? And to be reliable. But, this picture is a really good example of how little there is between you and the cars outside of you. Because the actual skin of the car that you see, that's not always necessarily designed to keep you safe, right? Mm-hmm. It's the frame that's keeping you safe. And the frame is very close to your actual body.
So maybe this is a car for running over to Starbucks and going to CVS and maybe, you know, down to the beach or something, but not for commuting on the freeway. I see what you're saying. In a 180 mile an hour crash, then you'd be squishy.
I wouldn't want to do it. So my
I wouldn't want to do it in my car either.
I was thinking of some use cases for this, and there's a place here in Arizona called Bearzona where they have like wolves and mountain goats and stuff. And you just take your car and you just drive around, right? Hmm. This would actually be really good if Bearzona bought a bunch of these and rented them out, because then people aren't sitting idling in their vehicles while they're watching the bears cross the road and stuff. You would actually get an electric vehicle. It's good for the environment. And you can just rent them out. It's another revenue source. And they're fun to drive.
Yeah, it's like driving a little go-kart.
Yeah. Another place is in here in Arizona. We have a lot of retirement communities like Sun Lakes and Sun City. And a lot of people in these communities drive golf carts from place to place to place. Mm-hmm. So I think that would be a really good use case. And then, you know, if you live somewhat close to work and you just were commuting, I think that'd be good too.
Yeah, I lived
and food delivery.
I lived 7 miles from work and it was all city streets and it took about 20 minutes because it was Los Angeles. And mm-hmm. I think this would have been a great little commute car for that. And I, back to the thing about SUVs, and I feel like we're in an escalation of a war here in everybody getting taller and taller vehicles because everybody says, I want to be above everybody. So everybody's getting bigger and bigger vehicles. And as a result, you have people driving a Yukon by themselves to drive to work. And, you know, I love people who buy big cars and use them for stuff. You know, Chris Ashley drives a Ford F-150. You know what? He carries lumber. He carries washing machines. He helps his friends move. He does things with it. But in L.A., all over the place, I see these people driving these Ford F-150s to their job at an aerospace company, and they haven't put lumber in it ever. Not even a dog. You know, it's like, stop buying bigger and bigger cars.
And we should say Chris does have an electric F-150 now.
Yes. So
he's even, not only is he doing things, he's doing it better.
Cleanly. You know, I also think that there's something that's happened in the last 20, 30 years that people think that you must have a massive vehicle if you have children. We used to drive our kids around in Steve's, I had a Honda Accord and he had, now I can't remember the model, a Prelude. And, you know, teeniest little car. And he would do that and do grocery shopping. And we'd carry the kids. We'd take the kids on vacations. You know, we went on vacation with four adults in the original Honda Civic, the one right after the first four-cylinder one.
Right.
Four adults. A little cramped, but, you know, we got it done. And, you know, people think that they need a minivan to take two kids and two adults. You get to three kids, I'll give you that one. But two kids and two adults, you don't need a minivan to go everywhere. Maybe it's easier.
But. So I'll give you that. You get two twins and a 16-year-old.
You win at three. At three, you got to do a bigger car for sure.
But two twins, you have to bring two of everything at the same age. Or twins, a set of twins, I guess, not two twins. So for our kids, like I had a Volkswagen Jetta, and I could not carry everything I needed in that car. Just because everything was massive.
Well, you kids today have all these contraptions and such. You know, we didn't carry pack and plays and car
right.
and we barely had our children in car seats back that long ago. I'm really old, but you know, the car or what do you call seats for the kids to sit in at the table, high chair seats. You know,
yeah.
I watch my kids when they come over, and it's like it is amazing how much stuff they bring with them.
It's a military operation.
It is.
For sure. Okay. So we've painted a nice picture of what it's like to drive the Solo. Why don't you show off the price, unveil the price of this vehicle?
Yeah. This is why you might, if you heard some things that you're like, oh, that doesn't sound so good, this might bring you back around. It's $18,500. That is really inexpensive, right? I mean, I haven't bought a car in a long time, but that's a really inexpensive car.
Yeah, and the only options you get are you get to choose one of four colors, and one of those colors, which is silver, is not always available.
So black, white, red. There are no trim options unless you're a Pizza Hut. And that's it. They said the silver ones go real quick. But he showed us a picture of their... I don't know, the place you keep spare cars down in Long Beach, and they had tons of them. So you could go down and, a lot of people have credit card limits that high. You know, not that I would condone putting it on your credit card unless you can get points for it or something.
Yeah, no, this is, you know, conceivably, like this is a young person who has saved for a car. They can make a sizable down payment, and with some parents' help, they could actually own a car. And that way... one of the things as a parent that I was always nervous about is my kid riding with somebody else or being distracted with somebody else in the car. Boom, you've got that problem solved. Now there's other problems that you can't solve, but if they're just going to school and back, this might be something that's,
actually,
that's beneficial for them.
Like that, going to school. Yeah, because school's usually pretty close, so they're not going to be going 80 miles an hour on the freeway. You'd rather they not have anybody in the car. They can't have to drive anybody home. Yeah, that's an interesting idea. Plus, if they wreck it, you're out $18,500, not $50,000. That's pretty interesting.
So would you recommend or not recommend this vehicle?
I would recommend it. I really would. I enjoyed it. One of the things, I'm enthusiastic about everything. I see everything as half full. You know, I hadn't thought about some of the downsides you brought up. I was like, ooh, that's amazing. But Steve got out of the car and goes, wow, that was really fun. And I figured he would be much more critical than I would be. But he really enjoyed driving this car. So $18,500 maybe as a second car. You know, you get a big giant vehicle for when you're carrying everybody around, but when you got to run over and get something and you need to buy 1 6-pack of something at the grocery store, you can go get it.
Yeah, I was smiling pretty much the whole time I drove this thing. It really did feel like it was, it really felt like it was like an ATV or some sort of vehicle that's designed for fun. You know, I didn't feel like, because you're so low to the ground and the car is very responsive. You just, when you take corners, you feel the car taking the corners and you're kind of shoved. If you're taking a right corner, you're shoved into the left part of the car and stuff. So you feel everything that's on the road. And that kind of, I think, grounds you more to what you're doing. And it was a lot of fun, especially, you know, taking corners at a little bit higher speed than probably you should have. I enjoyed it.
Actually, you make a really good point there. I used to sail, and my parents had a 35-foot sloop, and sailing that versus sailing the dinghy. You know, the dinghy, you were involved, you know, because you were directly affected by the waves and directly affected by your decisions on pulling the mainsail in and, you know, when you came about and things like that. You were directly affected. It was more like remote control when you were in the big boat. And I think the same thing is true with this car versus a regular car. You found yourself in your regular car sort of mindlessly driving, right? You're disconnected. You're thinking about something and you might not even be connecting to, did I make that turn? Did I signal on that turn? I don't even remember. This one, you're engaged. You're part of it because it's more immediate, I think.
Yeah, I would say that. And that's what makes it fun. It really does.
One more thing I wanted to point out that I forgot to say, Steve and I both would have sworn that the side view mirrors were much bigger than they are on regular cars. He said, no, they're not. It's just the car is so small. And I measured it on my hand and they are the size of regular mirrors. I went over to some other cars after I'd measured it and like how far up to my wrist did it come sticking straight out. The difference is that they're more at eye level. So you're not above it. You're kind of looking straight at it. And that's good for visibility in the side view mirror. It was a little bit challenging to me when I was making a right turn that a lot of my right turn view was occluded by that side view mirror. So I had to move my head around a little bit to be able to be sure. I might be sensitive because I almost hit somebody once making a right turn in my Acura for the same reason. I had low visibility on right turns.
Yeah, right turns are nerve-wracking for me, but I did not have any issue at all. Like, I felt like you could almost see all the way around the car with those two mirrors.
Oh, you could, so. Yeah. Well, you know what? You're taller in the seat. You're probably a good head taller than I am, so that's probably why.
Yeah, it was a good experience, so highly recommend it. And one of the things I was talking about to the salesperson, because they wrote down, you know, does a podcast. Mm-hmm. So one of the things he was very knowledgeable about all the sorts of different EVs. And one of the things we were talking about is like, not everything has to fit a certain mold. And this is like something that I am very passionate about. Like if this car works for you and it does everything you want it to do, then you should buy this car and not feel, you know, bummed about it. Versus, you know, if a Lucid Air, which is obviously a beautiful car, if it does nothing for you, I think that, you know, the $18,000 is worth more than the $160,000 in terms of what you get out of it, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. And if $18,500 is what you have, this is a pretty cool car.
Absolutely.
Not to mention what you're not going to spend on gas, right? So that $18,500 is a lot of buying power. Oh, what's the current US incentive now? Do you get money off?
I don't know if motorcycles do. That's a good question,
Interesting.
But if you did, it would be $7,500.
Jeez, so you're down to almost 10 grand.
Yeah, as long as it met like certain things, like it's got to be assembled here. Most of the parts need to be built here. So there's a lot of things that it has to hit for it to qualify more than just the fact that it's sold here. But If it does qualify, it's $7,500, which is a good point.
Let's see. If you buy one, you can get into the referral program. You get $250 bonus. But let's see. Rebates, incentives. I'm looking for up to $7,500. Yeah. Holy cow. Yeah, well, no, for 10 grand,
you can,
Bodhi, just get one of these. Just add it to your fleet. Drive that most of the time. When you got the kids in the car, drive the giant gas vehicle. It's going to pay for itself in like a week and a half at 10K.
It is, but I have money down on a Silverado. I have money down on, I don't want more than one car.
But look at all the money you'll save between now and when they ever make a car for you, because they apparently are never going to make you a car.
Oh, that's true. That's true. Actually, this side note, and I'll cut it off, but I was looking right before we got on, I was looking for tires because I have to replace my tires because I waited so long because I figured any moment now I'm going to hear when I'm going to get my truck and I can just turn this thing in without having to spend a bunch of money on tires, but that's not going to be. I got to replace tires this week.
You probably buy this car for less than the tires on your car. You're going to spend like $1,600 if you're lucky.
Yeah, 118. I'm not going to put the nicest tires on this thing. I'm definitely no more than 20,000 miles away from a new car.
Okay.
For sure.
Okay. Well, this was fun. It was fun doing it with you remotely, and I know Steve had a lot of fun doing it too, driving this car, the Electromechanica Solo. Yeah, if anybody buys it, let Bodhi know. Bodhi at 918digital.com.
Oh, stop. Allison, thank you so much. Why don't you tell everybody where to find you as if they don't already know?
If you go to podfeet.com, you can find everything I do, like the No Silicast podcast, a technology geek podcast with an ever so slight Apple bias.
Excellent. Thank you, Allison. I appreciate you coming on.
Oh, wait. Can I plug one other thing? I just did it. Oh, you already talked about it. I did a big thing on the batteries we had put in our house, and you did a great job covering that. But it was I had a lot of fun writing it up, walking through how they work and making these really cool diagrams that show you how the energy flows between the battery and the solar and the grid. It was really, really fun. Enjoyed learning a lot by having to write that up.
Can I make a recommendation then? Because this is how I did it, is I actually listened to the Nozilla cast, and then I just followed through.
By the way, it's Nozilla cast. When you say it with a Z, people can't find it.
That's a good point, because it's Allison spelled backwards.
It doesn't rhyme with Mozilla. Yeah, it's Allison spelled backwards.
Yeah, no, it's a Nozilla cast. But I listened. I had the thing up on my laptop, and I just kind of followed it as you went down.
Oh, did both at the same time. Yeah, the pictures really matter in that one. It's
they do, and the little video.
Yeah, yeah.
So, and I'll take this, you know what, when I did this on the show, I actually put two things together. Patrick does Cars with Cords, and he has an article up on his website, and I'll just mention this again, about Stormwatch and Firewatch for the Powerwalls. So it's a really good article, and it's a good pairing between the two articles that you both wrote.
Cool, I'll have to check that out.
All right, thanks so much, Allison.
Thank you.
Everybody, that is our show this week. I want to thank Allison Sheridan for coming on and sharing her experiences with me on the Electromechanica Solo. I also want to thank Steve Sheridan because he went with Allison and did a test drive as well, and he contributed his observations and experiences driving the Solo. So I really appreciate Steve for taking the time to do that. It really made the show better. So thank you, Steve. As always, if you want to get in touch with Allison Sheridan, just go to podfeet.com, because everything good begins with podfeet.com. Also, check out the show notes, because there will be links to Allison's website, Steve's YouTube page, the shared library, and the video showing the production of the Solo. All right, everybody, that is it for me today. On Friday, we're gonna go over Tesla AI Day. I'm really excited about this. I'm really stoked to see what Tesla is up to. Also, as a quick side note before I let you go, if I owe you an email, I'm so behind on all of my communications, I'm probably 5 days behind on getting back to folks. So if I owe you an email or a communication of some kind, today and tomorrow, I'm going to start, clearing that backlog. So I apologize about that. Okay, that's it. I hope you enjoyed today's episode, and I will talk to you this Friday.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/news ad free. That's amazon.com/news ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.